Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Barrasin. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet at www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623, or you can write us via post, the Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Well, as I had mentioned the last time, I am trying to continue on with something that my late pastor encouraged me to do last year, starting last year, and that is to help produce some new music and that kind of thing, and make that an integral part of my ministry and do it on a very regular basis. So I'm going to try this year to do that. And one of the things, there are two things that I'm doing. One is to produce and create, write, compose new music that has never been done before, and make that available on my internet site, and have it in such a way to where if someone wants to actually be a, you know, sing it, do a special with it at their church, they want to put it on one of their CDs or whatever, just make it available, you know. And this is not a money making thing for me. I mean, you know, pretty much, well, you just grab it and use it, and that'll be fine. And the other thing is that there are a lot of very good old hymns that there's not really any good soundtracks for, or there may be soundtracks for, but they've got licensing restrictions where you can't record them, you can't broadcast them. And so what I'm doing is, on some of these public domain old hymns, I'm going to start producing some soundtracks, and you're free to download and use them however you see fit. And also too, I would absolutely love to have some folks start downloading some of these soundtracks, practice them, sing them, and then send me back some files and everything. And I would love to share that with our listeners, and we can have sort of like a way of sharing things back and forth, because I really do believe that the Bible is serious about talking about singing to the Lord a new song, and how that we should creatively worship God. And part of my ministry over the last, I guess maybe the last 12 years or so, part of my ministry, a significant portion of my ministry, has been involved in trying to encourage people to write music, to write poetry, to worship God in the creative arts. And I believe quite strongly in that. And if you read the Bible, especially like in the Book of Psalms and different places in the New Testament, how that the Bible talks about, you know, sing to the Lord, clap your hands, all you people, worship the God with the voice, with a timbrel, with the lyre, the harp, yeah, and just on and on and on and on, how that God just loves to be worshipped with the creative arts. And if you look at the Book of Psalms, well, for one thing, the whole Book of Psalms is poetry. And if you look at a lot of the Old Testament prophets, their entire books are poetry. Now, we miss that because we read it in English, and the poetical structure was not very well translated from the original Hebrew into the King James English. So we miss a lot of that poetical structure that's there. There's also two places in the New Testament where it breaks into poetry, and it's not really all that obvious in the King James Version of the Bible. But in the original language, it's a little bit more obvious that it's the poetical nature of the structure. So God has a, you know, He loves the arts. He loves to be worshipped with the arts. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But anyhow, nonetheless, if you'll go to my website, www.gospelmailbox.org, you will see the Mailbox Messengers section of the website. And that's where I'll be posting the music, the music that you can download and print, the WAV files that you can download and include with your CD or sing along with it at church. There's some example, I try to include the example track where you can you actually hear a computer sing some of it. Sort of unique the way the technology has changed over the last 15 years. Now that you can actually you write the lyrics out, I've got a program now that actually will take the lyrics and actually sing it, so you know where the words are actually falling at, so it'll help you in singing the songs. And we just love to for you to use that. And I'm going to play a instrumental version of one of the ones that I'm making available on the internet. And this one is an old hymn of the church, and to the best of my knowledge, is in the public domain. But it's Little Is Much When God Is In It. Praise the Lord. As truer words have never been spoken. Little is much when God is in it. You know, I used to think that was a tearful kind of song, but that's actually the song of triumph. Because no matter how little we have to give to the work of God, no matter what little skill we have, that if God calls us to do it, that with Him being in it, makes all of the difference. Well, friends, we're continuing on with our series on the great doctrines of the Bible. We're on session number 34, and we're continuing on talking about repentance. repentance. And I want to pick up where we left off the last time and talk about there are three parts of repentance. One part of repentance is in the confession of sin to God. We find that in Psalms 38 and 18, where it says, "For I declare mine iniquity, for I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin." And we remember the story of the prodigal or the publican who beat his chest and hollered out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that's in Luke 18 and 13. And then we remember the story about the prodigal son that we talked about at great length the last session, and how that the prodigal son said in Luke 15 and 21, how that I have sinned against heaven. And we see that confession is a very strong, a very important part of this act of repentance. And we see Matthew 5:23-24. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go to thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So we see how that Jesus is talking about how that even when we need to be confessing wrongs we've done to each other, how important that is. And then we see in James 5 and 16 where Brother James says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And see, confession is such a very important part of the act of repentance. And people will try to gloss that over and act like confession is not that important. Now, it's critical for us to understand that the confession needs to be from the person who actually is the one who has most at fault. I have heard some people, you know, they'll have a friend, two friends will get saved, and they'd been in a lot of meanness. And one friend will know a lot of things about the other friend. And the next thing you know, the one who did not do all of these things is out there confessing the faults and the failings of their friend. Well, it's important to understand the dynamics of this. That when the Bible talks about confessing your sins, he is talking about confessing your sins. Not your friend's sins. Not your child's sins. Not your brother's sins. Not your wife's sins. Not your parents' sins. Sins, but your sins. It's almost like the same kind of thing, and preachers will hear this a lot, where folks will be talking and they'll say, "Well, boy, I wish brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so heard that sermon, because they really need that because they're into this, that, and the other." And we don't need to be looking at confession wanting to so much elicit it from someone else as if, but we need to be looking at our own lives to see what we need to be confessing. And then the second part of repentance, first one is confession. The second part of repentance, component of repentance, is forsaking the sin. You see, Isaiah 55 and 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Matthew 3, 8 through 10, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You see, it's important for us to really, when we talk about repentance, it's important for us to really deeply understand that it's not just lip service. If we're out there laying drunk and we confess that and we ask God to forgive us, and we are still going out there drinking, we're not going to get forgiveness for it. See, it is turning from, repenting is turning away and stopping doing the bad things that we're into. You know, people will sit there and they'll act like they are, well, not act like, they are playing games with God. They recite a magic formula, and they can go do anything they want to do, never make any change, and everything will be okay. And it doesn't work that way. See, being saved, grace goes beyond mercy. Grace is this newness of life, this turning from our evil ways. You remember the big long list Paul gave of idolaters and drunkards and revilers and homosexuals and gluttons and slothfulness and all of these things that these people were into, and how that when he looked through, when Paul looked through that list and he looked around that particular church and he said, but such were some of you. That was in the past tense. Such were some of you. So we need to understand that an integral part of repentance is this. An integral part of repentance is that we turn from our evil ways. Now, that's the second component of repentance. Now, the third component of repentance is turning to God. See, it's not enough for us to stop sinning. We have to replace that action with something else. We see in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, for they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, for how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And Jesus was talking to Paul when he got struck off that donkey. And Paul was recounting that story, and in Acts 26 and 18 he says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we see how that part of repentance is a integral part of changing our ways. I mean, we've got confession is an integral part of it. Then we have stopping doing what we're doing, which is wrong, which is important. Then the third part of it is to turn from our evil ways, turn from that sinful habit, and replace it with a positive thing. And the expert on Christian counseling, that if you get a chance to read some of his books, they're a little bit, you have to, I had to read most of his books, to be honest with you, with a dictionary on my lap, looking up a lot of words. He uses a lot of really big words. But it's a great book. The guy's name is Jay Adams. The first book he came out with was Christian Counseling. And it has got some fantastic stuff in it. And one of the big things that Jay Adams kept reinforcing from the Scriptures and proving with the Scriptures is how that when you're dealing with people and they have these life-controlling issues, that there are two components that you need to go with. You need to concentrate on getting them to stop the bad thing, but you need to also have them replace that with a good thing. And you read the Bible and you see where it talks about it all the time. I mean, for example, you know, Paul was talking, he said that those that are stealing should steal no more and learn to work with their hands, that they may be able to supply to the folks they're responsible for his needs. So it's not just enough to stop stealing, but they need to learn to work with their hands and replace the thievery with hard work. It's not enough to quit hating people. You have to replace that emotion of hate with the emotion of love. You need to replace, as Brother Paul was talking about, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is holy, think on these things. You can't just thump out the bad thoughts out of your mind. You have to replace that with good things. And that's what this idea of replacing, turn from your evil ways and turn toward God. And we're going to talk quickly of how repentance is produced. First off, it's a divine gift. Acts 11, 118, then hath God to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. 2 Timothy 2:25. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then Acts 5:30-31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So, an integral part of this repentance repentance process is the divine act of God, where God calls people, His Spirit strives with people, people are under conviction. There is a divine component in this act of repentance. Yet, that repentance has this divine component to it, there is also natural means that are come into place. Acts 2:27-38. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we see how, if you read that entire section of scriptures, you'll find that that's right after Peter preached his great sermon. And the point I'm trying to make is that even though, yes, there is a divine component to repentance, He works through people. So it's important for us to preach the gospel. It's important for us to stand for what's right. It's important for us to say the right things. It's important for us to keep our church doors open. It's important for us to give out tracts. It's important for us to stand for the right things, because God uses us as instruments. It's important to preach on the radio, because God uses us. And we also see how that it's important for people to follow through with the correct actions. And we remember how that the Ninevites, how they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And it's important for the gospel message to be preached with the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:5-10, For our gospel came not unto you in the word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's important. It's very important what we do, how we preach, how we live in front of people, because we are a participant in that divine act of repentance. Well, friends, you have been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. You can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409, or call me, 423-544-0623. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.